Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5 says, "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed." This is the word of the Lord. Jesus came as a healer. On this, all four of the Gospels are in agreement. Together, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John devote more than a third of their narrative material to Jesus' healing activity. 38 separate accounts in all. From making the lame to walk, to the blind to see, from the cleansing of lepers to the cure of the sick, and from casting out evil spirits even to raising the dead. Jesus' healings were a significant part of his life and ministry and that of his disciples, on par with all the time that he spent teaching. It seems to be how he was known throughout the regions of Galilee throughout his ministry, when the crowds routinely flocked to Jesus to hear him teach and to be healed. As early as the second century, church fathers like Clement and Ignatius and Origen began to refer to Jesus as the good physician, a healer of both body and soul. Matthew chapters 8 through 9, from which we read a little bit earlier today, contain Matthew's first and largest collection of healing miracles. And the purpose that he has with this trio of stories that we heard earlier is not simply to establish Jesus as a miracle worker, but to say something about the significance, the meaning of Jesus' healing ministry. At both the beginning and the end of the passage, Matthew points out the crowds who were following Jesus, who witnessed his healings, who came to be healed themselves. One commentator explains that these were not private affairs, private consultations in Jesus' office where he had a private practice for healing. But no, this was part of the Messiah's ministry to his people as a whole. And as we'll hear more next week, signs of the kingdom of God, God's reign that had come in Jesus Christ. Matthew chooses to focus on three individuals who, for various reasons, had been excluded from full participation in the life of Israel. There was, first of all, a leper, someone who was ceremonially unclean, stigmatized, cut off from society. They couldn't even enter a village without calling out, "unclean," so that people would stay away. Then there was a centurion and his servant who was sick. These were Gentiles, people who were excluded by race and nationality from participation in Israel. And finally, we have Peter's mother-in-law, a woman. Jesus regularly elevated the status of women relative to the norms of his day, but she was once again another person who, for reasons of sex, was excluded from full participation. And so each of these miracles that Matthew mentions here is not just a physical healing, but it's about inclusion of those who are outsiders. It's about the restoration of broken relationships. The leper, after he is healed, is commanded to go and show himself to the priest so that he could be returned to society. The centurion's faith is praised over and above that of native Israelites as Jesus declares that many will come from east and from west, from outside the borders of Israel, to take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Those who had been outsiders will be included. Even Peter's mother-in-law, in the more domestic setting of that miracle, rises from her bed to participate in her own way in what Jesus is doing. Jesus enacts a healing that is physical, first of all. A leper is cleansed, a servant is healed, a woman is cured. But it's also social and it's relational. The outcast and the excluded and the disempowered are restored to community. They find a place in Jesus' kingdom. And as accounts later in these chapters will show, It's not just physical, it's not just social and relational, it's psychological and emotional. The evil spirits of the Gospels are not to be confused with mental illness as we know it today, as if they're one and the same. But when Jesus heals a demon-possessed man towards the end of this chapter, it's said that he's found to be clothed and in his right mind. Jesus shows concern for psychological and emotional health. And Jesus' healing is spiritual, of course, too. His first words to the paralyzed man that's brought to him at the beginning of chapter 9 is, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." Jesus' healing show that he is concerned with the whole person, body, mind, spirit. And in this holistic sense, healing is absolutely central and not just incidental to Jesus' mission and ministry. And so Matthew concludes this section by quoting from Isaiah chapter 53. It's a famous chapter quoted throughout the New Testament to refer to the Messiah's sufferings and death. But it's only Matthew who zeroes in on this element of Jesus as a healer of physical as well as spiritual ills, not just our sins, but our sicknesses too. He's taken up our infirmities, he says, and borne our diseases. The text speaks of Jesus sharing in our human suffering and brokenness by taking them on himself in his life, in his death, and in his resurrection. By his wounds we are healed, Isaiah says. 1 Peter chapter 2 quotes these verses as well, and it tells us there that Jesus laid down his life that we might be healed. And that includes forgiveness, includes restoration of relationship with our Father God. It includes our body, our mind, our spirit, our social relationships as well. Jesus laid down his life for our healing. A complete healing that we may experience in some part in this life, or else like Paul's thorn in the flesh in the life to come. There's no better place to find healing and grace than the table of the Lord to which we come this morning. Because this is the place where our Savior freely gives himself to us. The one who laid down his life so that we may be healed is here at this table. And as we come forward today, we're going to have an opportunity not just to receive communion, but to pray and to be prayed for healing of any kind. James, the brother of Jesus, writes in his letter in the New Testament, "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? Call the elders of the church to pray over you and anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make you well. The Lord will raise you up. If you have sinned, you will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." And so it's our sacred privilege to come this morning to the table of the Lord and as a priestly people to pray for God's healing. Know that you can offer even your brokenness and infirmity to God as a gift of worship, but we pray also that by God's power you may be healed in body, mind, and spirit. Pastor Sharon's going to lead us in a time of prayer.